Well, tonight I'm going to pick up the Genesis study. Really missed it. I love the book of Genesis, and I'm sure you've heard this, but all of life's questions can be answered in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. It's all in there. And we just got to spend our time in it and looking at it. Tonight I've entitled the teaching, Opportunities to Confirm Our Faith. And My heart from the middle of 2023 all the way tonight is I've been sharing with people in my home fellowship that 2024 is going to be a tough year. I don't know about you, but it's already been tough. And if you're being attacked in relationships, family, marriages, kids, at work, school, whatever it is, just know that you're not alone. Can you hear an amen? Everybody's been attacked. And so I think this is a good chapter to get us back into the road of Genesis as we see Abraham and Isaac fulfill God's calling in their lives. And I just want to say this. This year is now. And I believe every believer, you and I, we must choose to walk for the sake of Jesus Christ this year. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 7, really, Paul tells Timothy, be straight up with God's word. Don't try to tickle ears. I'm paraphrasing. Give God's truth, because that's when people will refocus. That's when people will get redirected. Sadly, too many Christians come to church to get their ears tickled. Or the worst of it is this: churches become social clubs. And that's not healthy at all. We can find socializing outside of church. We come here to worship and to receive God's truth via His word. Amen? So, as we pick up chapter 22, it's interesting because in chapter 21, we saw Sarah conceiving after she laughed and thought it was impossible. And then we saw Hagar and her son Ishmael leave. So we see Sarah conceive, we see Hagar and Ishmael leave. And through it all, you have to understand that I'm sure Abraham was having wrestling moments with God. And we pick it up in 22, as the Bible says, after these things. So, Father, we thank you for your word. As always, we desire it to be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Thank you for Abraham and his Ohana, his family, as we get to see great examples and how they respond to the Lord as he calls and he beckons us with directions. I pray for every man, woman, and child here and might be online or listening on radio, that you give us a refreshing word for our souls, that you might touch us, because these upcoming days are going to be challenging, Lord, and you tell us to expect it. We're living in the end times. So bless us, Father, because only you can bless. We pray this in Jesus' name. Our God's people say, amen. I'm going to be covering verses 1 through 12, and I'll take it a couple verses at a time. Let's look at the first two verses. It says, now it came about after these things, well, in verse 21, chapter 21, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. In verse 2, God says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Wow. Right, Abraham waits like almost 100 years to have a baby. And now God's telling him, yo, go sacrifice your son. I want you to notice, and I think we can have testimony to this, that God prepared Abraham for such a time as this, as we looked in chapter 21 and previous chapters. And in my life, in your life, I'm sure if you never realize that God always prepares you, just like Abraham, to face our faith challenge moment. Now we got to make a choice. We have to test our faith. And I love this because look right in the middle of verse 1, it says that God tested Abraham. I don't know if you realize this or not, but God allows our testing. If you're his child, nothing is limited from coming past his throne. He'll approve it. Just read the book of Job. And when you start to cling to that truth that God is the one allowing testing, then we get a different view of it. Because as I read these first two verses, I see that the Lord is faithful to prepare and train you and I, as he's doing with Abraham, for these moments we will face in the future, maybe some of you even now, that challenge of our faith. Everybody can say, I love Jesus, I have faith in God, he's gonna see me through this. And then it hits you and I, and then the rubber meets the road, huh? How we cope with that moment speaks about who we are in Christ and the depth of our faith in him. And I'll speak about that a little bit more. You see, our testing will reveal our faith that God, you didn't build up your faith. Our testing will reveal the faith God has built into us and the depth of our faith we have for him. That's why Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 17:7. I think they put it up. Blessed is the man, that's generic for humans. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And those who trust, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Another version in your Bible might say, blessed is the man whose trust in God and blessed is the man whose hope is God. Some of your Bibles might say that. You see, so God tells us you and I are blessed if we hope and we trust in him. And yet, how many of you have gone through other things, done other things before we looked up? Because we handled it before, right? We know how to do this, especially if you lived a lot longer than others. You've had successes in your life. And so you rely on those coping mechanisms that you and I have, that we've built up. But we see here Abraham, look what he says. Oh my gosh, I was so challenged during this study. He goes, here I am. Man, I pray that I can respond as Abraham. Here I am, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to submit. And here's something Americans don't like. Are you and I ready to be uncomfortable? Like I shared with you earlier, it's very uncomfortable for me to go into a woman's facility for 3 years and minister to them. Very traumatic situation for them. And I'm very uncomfortable. I wrestled with God. Surely, Lord, pick someone else. I try to make every excuse not to go in there. But God said no. And so what do you do? And what do I do when God's calling us to do, be, and say something uncomfortable? Especially in a loving and an appropriate way and time. We struggle with those moments. And verse 2 uses this word, the son you love. That's the first time this word is used. Ahab. A-H-A-B. And here's the meaning. I mean, deep, intimate love. As far as a husband and wife, that kind of. Abraham, through this word, deeply loved Isaac. Deeply. You know, as a parent, I can say, I love my son. I remember him coming from my wife and lifting him up. You know, like, what was that? That lion Simba? The nurses thought I was nuts in the hospital. I was praying over him right from when he came out of my wife. I lifted him up and gave him to the Lord. You know, those of us who are parents, we love our kids. And God made it that way. We should. And Abraham loved his son so deeply. And I'm sure these initial instructions given to Abraham by God surely was cutting him like a knife. What do you mean? I'm going to sacrifice Isaac? God, you promised, this is the promised seed. You gave him to me. Oh, Lord, that's very uncomfortable for me. Let's look at verse 3. Let's see Abraham's response. Because what you'll find is Abraham's responding in faith will lead him to Calvary. It's crazy how that happens. And verse 3 says this. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Look at his response. Going to the mountains of Moriah. That's where Jesus is crucified up there. Even though it was uncomfortable for Abraham, imagine the night after he had to sleep on it, God gave him that instruction, that agony of Abraham. Yet he didn't create any hesitation like me going to a woman's facility. Wrestle. No, God, pick somebody else. Pick another girl. Not me. You know, we wrestle with God so many times in our lives, in our walk. And there's hesitation. And yet I look at Abraham and I see, even though God gave him this agonizing instruction, he did not hesitate with his obedience. Oh, don't you want to be like that? Man, I want to be like that. And so I'll throw this question out. I wish I could get some of your thoughts. It's too many of you leave here at 10 o'clock. But here's a question. What has caused me to hesitate with Jesus calling for me? When have you hesitated with the call of God? Think about that. Chew on that for a little while. When did you hesitate when you knew it was God calling you to be, to do, or to say something? I know I hesitate for Fabian in these moments. I fear the unknown. I'm a linear thinker. I like A plus B plus C equals D. That's how I roll. I like that. And if I don't know B or C, and then you want me to get to D, woohoo, I get some wrestling. I wrestle whenever that situation is going to make me uncomfortable, as I spoke earlier. I'm going to bare my heart with you. I wrestle with the cost of me pouring into other human beings. You think about that. There's a cost. It's not always going to turn out the way you and I think it should. Amen? You guys hear me? Yes? Stay up. We're grooving. We're going to get there. But I want you to reflect that the cost for another soul is worth it, in my belief system, because of what Jesus did. He paid for it all, for all of us. Think about this. I struggled with this in my early walk as a young Christian. God asking me to break away from some of my family members who I love dearly and I still love. But breaking away means not to associate because, that was the old Fabian. And for me to hang out with them in Cali and Waianae and all that stuff wasn't going to work for me. And it's not the place or the environment, it was just me and who I would allow to influence me instead of Holy Spirit. And so when you start to hear God directing you to do something difficult, you have an Abraham moment. What are we going to do? No, but I love him. I love her. I love my kids. And God's like, I know that. But I'm their God. Do as I tell you, and it's going to work out. You notice that I love Abraham. He's the head. He's the clansman. And yet, look who's doing all the work for the journey. Abraham's cutting the wood. He's settling the donkey. He's doing all of the labor. All of the labor. Getting ready for the trip. He's into it. He's into it. He's all in. And I started thinking, man, as a father, I'm so proud of my son in a healthy way. And I think he might be online or on the radio. My daughter-in-law is ready to give birth to our first granddaughter. And so it's an exciting time. I'm going to be a puppy. So it's pretty cool. But I'm so proud of him because all the struggles he's gone through and where he's at today, he's still got a lot more to go. So do I, and so do you. And yet where he's at today, I'm so proud of him. And as a father, I can honestly tell you this. Raise your hand if you're a father. All right. There's a few of us. All right. As a father, I think I can speak for the gentlemen in the room who raised their hand. We would rather lay down our lives for our sons or daughters. Amen, guys? Oh, that was quiet. Amen, guys? Come on, guys. We need heroes, okay? We need men to be men, right? And for me, I'd rather give my life up versus my son's. I mean that. Now, not in a ungodly way. If he's going down a slippery slope, well, dude, you're slip sliding away. But if he's doing something that's right, just, pure, godly, I would step in and take it for him. No doubt. No doubt. And I'm sure that's what Abraham was thinking. Oh, really, God, the son that I love. Let's look at verses 4 through 9. On the third day, On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young man, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you." Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked together. Verse 7. And Isaac spoke to Abraham. He said, "Father, my father," he said, "here I am, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Good question. Very good question. Verse 8. And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. And finally, verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there. And he arranged the wood and bound his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Wow. Despite Abraham's wrestling with his thoughts, his emotions, he submitted. He submitted to God. This revealed to me, as I study this, the depth of his love for God above all things. This must have been the longest 3 days of Abraham's life. Thinking in Genesis 21:12, that this was the seed ready to get sacrificed. Sacrificed as worship unto God. Wow. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about Abraham, verses 17 and 19. I don't know. We're going to have that? Come on. Or I can turn. That's right. There we go. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. By faith. What kind of faith did he have? I don't know. But if you think you're going to kill someone with a knife, that's pretty personal. Amen? It's not like a little bullet. It's personal. There's going to be stuff that's happening. And so in his faith, in his process, he was thinking, if he goes through with this, God can raise him up again. Or God might have something else to sacrifice. But Abraham had great faith in God. And I like this about Isaac. You notice Isaac willingly submits. I don't know when you study this, Isaac is not a little boy, amen? I read some commentators that believe he was near 30 years old. So you can imagine a 100-something-year-old man trying to force a 30-year-old spry young man to do something. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. But we see Isaac, because of the role model of his daddy, submits. He willingly submits. What a challenge that is. What a challenge. And teaches us that as we believe all things, and then remember when Jesus in Matthew 19, 26, he looked at his disciples and they were like tripping. And then he said this. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Right? With people, these things are impossible. With you and I, we can't do it. Yet how many of you are still striving? You're still striving for that relationship. You're still striving for that habit. You're still striving for that moment that you're longing for. Why don't we just give it to God? No, not just sit on the couch with the remote. Okay, God, you got it. Or those of you who game, you got it, God. I got to go kill these people right now. I mean, we have our part to play. But I find for my life, when I stop striving and I do my best, and God knows when we're doing that, he'll do the rest. Does that make sense? And so when you look at Isaac, this spry young man, willingly carrying the wood. Does this sound familiar? Isaac, the promised son, carrying the wood to be sacrificed on. Wow. When I read that, I was like, whoa. That sounds very similar to what my Savior did for you and I. I don't mean to offend any of you. That's not my objective. I'm here to encourage, build up, and touch you with God's truth. But I believe when I look at Isaac in his choice to submit and lay himself on that wood and be bound, here's a challenge for us today. Are you and I willing to sacrifice ourselves to God, all our wants, all our desires? Are you willing to put God above those things? You see, when I see Isaac, I see this young man laying down as an example of his obedience. He's laying down his life. Now, you and I might not be called to die, but God surely wants the old self to go and the new self to come. Make sense? Yet, what if we get that call? Like, if my son would call me, but I left the phone in the car because I knew I was talking. But if he'd call me and he'd say, Dad, I need this, 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 this. Now I got a choice, right? And I'm just going to jet out and do what he's requesting? It depends. It depends on what the request is. But many of us who are fixers, including the women, we would go and fix. You mama bears in the house, you guys are like big time fixers. Right? But we fix without consulting God first. And we just jump into it. But I see this young man, Isaac. Oh, man, I want this. I want to put my desires below my desire for Jesus Christ. I want him to be my all in all, even before my wife, even before my son. Now, it's easier said than done. And when I have my faith moment, I will have a wrestling match, but I would hope I would tap out to Holy Spirit and follow him. That's my hope. You see, my loved ones, tonight, obedience is a key element with our relationship, not only with Christ, but with anybody in your life. Somebody you dearly love, and they don't tell you to do something unlawful or ungodly, and you have to choose if you're going to obey or not, but it's uncomfortable for you, that's a big decision. That's a real big decision. And we experience that constantly in our relationships here on earth. But when I see this obedience with Abraham and Isaac, man, what an encouragement for you and I, how important obedience is. It's awesome encouragement when you and I obey, because look at verse 8. What did verse 8 tells us? And Abraham said, God will... The son just asked, where's the sacrifice? Abraham replies, God will provide. Do you believe that tonight in your life? Some of you tonight need healing. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, with your relationships. Do you believe what Abraham said? God will provide. You see, if we choose to obey, that's his promise. He says, I will guide and provide for you. Not me. It's in his word. He's our protector, right? The psalmist wrote this in Psalm 62:2. He only is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold, and I won't be greatly shaken. What do you do with those promises? What do you do? Yeah, they posted it. Look at that. What do you do with this promise of God? Oh, it's just a church verse. No, it's his promise to us. If we choose to obey, he will be our provider. He will be our protector. And as I look at this statement by Abraham in verse 8, God will provide. Look, I'm not here to sugarcoat anything on this earthly walk we have. Our training on this earth, I call this boot camp, for those of us who are military or paramilitary, I call our life on earth our boot camp, our training camp. Our training on earth is difficult. But look what God has told us tonight. When 2024 comes with its challenges, know, understand, and believe God will provide. He'll provide. That's his promise. Even when the voices come and the feelings come and the situations come, cling to the promise of God, I will provide. I had this thought in my head in this portion of scripture going, you know, God, why I need so much training? I get abilities already. Right? Why do I need training? God, just use my current abilities. Why do I got to get trained some more? Because I can't do things on my own. I realize that. You and I can have a lot of abilities, but that's all they are. You ever heard of this saying, oh, that girl, that guy had great potential. You ever heard of that saying? They had like great potential, but it never came to pass. You see, so you and I in our own abilities, all we have is potential. But when God's Spirit is in us and he's guiding and moving us, then that becomes a supernatural thing because God's in the middle of it. Amen? And so understand that God has much more for you and I than our personal abilities or what we can personally give. He'll take us places and situations that we never thought we could come out of. But he's a great God. And I've said this before, he's large and he's in charge. Let's look at verse 10 through 12. Goes on and says, and Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Whew, I don't know how Isaac must have been looking at that. Wow. In verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, again, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do not do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wow. So we saw Abraham's response, right? Didn't hesitate. We saw Isaac's response, obedient, willful. And now look, when all that's happening to your life, my life, look at God's response. God, on time, perfect will, perfect plan. On time, perfect will, perfect plan. Boom, it comes. And you're like, whoa, how did that just happen that way? God steps in a supernatural moment and way. You see, the testing for Abraham and Isaac was to reveal their love and obedience to God. I submit to you, nothing has changed. Why do you think you and I go through what we go through? Like I said earlier, we can talk a good story. You can get tatted. You can get the emblems. You can get the stickers. You can carry the fattest Bible in the world and walk around and it's real heavy. And you think you're real holy carrying it. But the proof is this. How do you respond when God gives you a direction? How do you respond to that? What choices do you make? Even if it's hard. Because if we don't listen, then we think God doesn't mean when he tells us, I have purposes in all and with all things in your life and my life. In every second, every moment, I have a purpose for it. Do you believe that tonight? Otherwise, he's a liar. God's a liar. Because he tells us that in Romans 8:28, right? What he says. I work all things together. And we know that. Because God tells us all things together. For good, for those who love God. To those who are called, or the call, some of your Bibles might say, according to his purposes. Yeah, this is a tremendous statement that God inspired Paul to write. God says, I'm going to work everything out. Trust in me. Have faith in me. You see, your choice and my choice will reveal at that moment when we're facing something like that, the depth of our love and faith in Jesus Christ. Don't talk a good story. Be a faithful servant of Christ in how you live. And you'll make people uncomfortable. You will. And just in case you didn't know this, okay? No human being can make everybody in their life love them. Did you know that? So stop trying. Not everybody will love us. It's okay. It's their trip. But we can love everybody. We can choose to do that because Christ calls us to be that. And so when you start thinking about this moment that Abraham and Isaac is just experiencing and God steps in, this kind of hits me in the jaw. Boom. God just gave me these notes to write down. I'll read the note. This is my notes. Abraham wasn't faking his obedience. He was a doer of God's instruction. There's no faking your faith. There's no faking it. You may fake people, but you're not going to fake God with your faith. He knows. He knows how deep you are in your obedience and love for him. I was really wrestling with that, and I came up with this question. Again, I have questions in my head when I study. And I wrote this, how often do I desire complete knowing prior to my doing something? I want all the information first, and then I'll do it. If you never heard this before, here's a gem tonight. Okay, catch the gem. Put that gem in your pocket and take this with you tonight. There is some knowledge we are never meant to have. You think about that. There is some knowledge. But, oh man, I like knowing everything. What he did? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And then you're like grinding for weeks. And God's like, I really didn't want you to have that knowledge. You really don't need that knowledge. But we like knowledge, right? Especially in this world today, right? You can Bing it, Google it, ducky duck it, whatever they call it. I mean, X it. All the X people know all the current information, right? We so much into knowledge today, and yet God's in heaven going, there's some knowledge, my loved ones, I don't want you to have. And it's healthy for you not to have it. And I'm thinking, man, Lord, can you imagine this? If you're praying and you go, God, give me all the knowledge for the rest of my life. And he gives you day by day all the way to your death. And he'll show you how you're going to die. Would you want that knowledge? Some of you are like, maybe. Well, I don't know about you, because what if it's tomorrow you're going to die? Right? And you're like, I don't like that knowledge. Take that knowledge back, right? But you and I want so much knowledge all the time. And God's like, no, I know what I want to show you. I know what I want to give you. You see, the Lord here clearly reveals he doesn't desire worldly sacrifices. If you don't know the culture back then, it was very pagan-like. Human sacrifices was kind of normal in the other religious things going on, right? So it wasn't like, oh, a human got killed. It's kind of like, sadly to say, American abortion clinics today. It's kind of acceptable murder now, right? Acceptable. Well, it's the law. It's a choice. So back then, it was kind of pagan, but it was prevalent in cultures around Abraham and Isaac, where they sacrifice human to whatever God they're sacrificing to. But God's not into not only human sacrifices, he's not into worldly sacrifices. If you get a tax return this year and you come pick up your envelopes next week because you're getting good deduction off of it, right? If you get a good tax return, you give it all to the church and then you put a needle in your arm, put some lines up your nose. Maybe you fool around on your husband or your wife, or you beat your kids for no good reason, or maybe you give somebody the number one sign who cut in front of you driving. You know what I mean? And this is like, what's good about that tithe? What God wants is our hearts. That's what he wants. Are you and I willing to give it to him? You see, that's faith. That's true faith. True faith. And I look at this and I say, God, man, I want to give you my heart. Remember that song we used to sing, give you my heart, give you my soul? Oh, Jesus, right? Great song. That's what God wants. He wants us inside of us. My wife and I share this with the incarcerated youth and the young women we minister to all the time. Whoever wins our hearts, oh, I can do it. Someone slapped that. Whoever wins our hearts wins our souls. Think about that. Whoever wins your heart wins your soul. Man, woman, kid, career, money, whatever it is. I hope that makes sense for you. Because that is the prize God wants, your heart. Because that's what's going to heaven, our souls. Amen? And so when you start to think about all this transpiring in this scripture portion here of the Bible, we see that Abraham revealed his heart straight up. He wasn't faking it. Abraham revealed his heart by giving up Isaac to God. Whew, I got to take a deep breath because I was doing this study in my office. I kind of got emotional here. But Abraham revealed his heart by giving up Isaac. Guess what? God has revealed his heart by giving you and I Jesus. How great is that? He gave us his only son just so we could make a new life here on earth and a way to the kingdom he has created for us in heaven. I'm just astounded when I think about that. And as I wind down the teaching tonight, I realize I want to leave you with two scriptures tonight. The first one is Hebrews 11:1. And these are truths concerning our faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. You don't have to know all things. You hope for it in Christ. That's faith. You don't need evidence. Your evidence is your love for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the evidence. And watch the hope come true. Here's another scripture I want to give you as I wind down. Because how do we do these things? Zechariah 4:6. Look. Then he said to me, God, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of all heavenly angels. It's not by your might. It's not by our power. But it's by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who Jesus has sealed us with as he went to the cross. My loved ones, that's not a small thing. That is a big gift. Because Abraham and Isaac was not sealed with the Holy Spirit. God presented himself at different times. But you and I today, because of Jesus, here, all the way to China, all the way to Africa, all the way to Israel, we all can be filled with the Holy Spirit simultaneously. Amen? That's the gift God gave us on the cross. That greater works. I got this little plaque. Well, it was my wife's plaque, I think. But I found it on the side of our recliner. And it was a little thing that now it's mine. It's in my bathroom. Her and I were spoiled. We have separate bathrooms. So it's in the man cave. I got up on my shaving mirror and C.S. Lewis, that guy is crazy thinker, atheist turned Christian, right? Look what he says. Chew on the simplicity of this thought. You and I, you don't have a soul. We are souls. What you and I have is bodies. Think about that. That's what we have, this biological machine. We are souls. Inside of us is who we are. Does that make sense? I love that simple saying by C.S. It's great. I've been meditating on that since I found it about 2 weeks ago. Like, whoa. I'm a soul. I have a body. It just relieves everything about this body that's breaking down. I have it, but I got something better coming. You have something better coming. It's going to be God-given and soul-driven with Holy Spirit. Man, can you imagine how that body's going to be? Because God's prepared it for us. Woo! I'm going to close with this thought. What guides our choices in 2024? And I mean this with all sincerity. Will change the journey of your walk on earth. I've been saying this for a long time. 2024 is going to have big things happening in it. And not because I'm a prophet. It's because I read God's word and I see what's happening in my life and in this world. Amen? No one's going to stop it. Not even a new president. Christ and Christ alone. When he comes back, that's when it all goes away. Can I do something different as I close in prayer tonight? Can we all stand? And if some of you can't stand, that's fine. Don't. But if you can stand, please stand. And I want to do this as a corporate body, if you will. I want us to lift our hands, and I want to pray over us, the body of Christ, and our nation, and for the peace of Israel. Is that okay with you? Dear Lord, we stand before you tonight. We gather for your name's sake. We say thank you, God, for first loving us, and now we get to love you back. We cry out for blessings that only heaven can give and bring. So much unsurety in this world, in our personal life, God. We cling to you by faith, even if we don't see it, God. We cling to the hope we have in Jesus. And we cry out, Abba, come, touch us, fill us like only you can. We dedicate ourselves to you tonight, God. We refocus ourselves to you tonight. We pray for the holy nation of Israel, the borders of the Holy Land, the people of God, God. Lord, touch them. Give them peace. Guard them. Lead them in the ways that they should go, Lord. We pray for the great country we've been born in and grew up in, the United States of America, once founded on godly principles. In God we trust. God, give us clarity. Bring the truth, however that truth looks like. Bring it, and let us make sense of it and make decisions from it. Set your church on fire, God. Help us to bring the truth of Jesus to this lost and dying country of ours. Lord, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Love you guys. Thank you for having me.